Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. I have often heard the phrase that wine is an investment, and I never believe it. I think it's a bunch of boozers who are telling themselves some fantasy story. But Atul Tiwari believes it. In fact, he's made this his new-ish job, expanding a joint venture with Cult Wine to become CEO of Cult Wine Americas. His background is in traditional investing. He was the CEO of Vanguard Investments Canada, and he joins us now to talk about what retail investors need to know about this, very alternative investment class. Atul, is it a very alternative investment class or just alternative?
First of all, thank you for having me, Bruce. And secondly, thanks to everyone who's listening in. I would call it just an alternative asset class. Okay. It definitely is an asset class that is recognized and invested into in Europe and Asia. And I'd always wondered why it hadn't really been promoted in North America. And so what we're doing is bringing an established alternative asset class to North American investors.
Do you ever get to drink it?
Yes, we encourage that. The way that it works is when you onboard with Cult Wines, we do your risk profiling, know your client, and your understand your objectives for the investment. From there, what we do is we create a portfolio of wines for you. So they are segregated, separately managed portfolios of fine wine. So as an investor, you own the wine. We manage it for you. And historically, 80% of the wines that we manage are sold, and 20% clients say, "Hey, you know, I don't want to sell that. Send it over to me, and I'll consume it."
So where is that investment housed principally?
So Cult Wine started in 2007 in the UK, and there's an established system of storage throughout the UK called an in-bond storage facility. And what that means is that we move the actual wines from France and Italy to the UK, and they are managed by a third party called London City Bond in perfect storage conditions. And by doing that, you do not need to pay the VAT tax of 20% since it's in what is called an in-bond storage system.
I see. So it's not in my basement.
It is not. Now, if you wanted to bring it into Canada, you can certainly do so. You just need to do so in accordance with your provincial regulations for importing alcohol.
At Vanguard, you oversaw exchange-traded funds. Super simple to buy and sell. You don't have to know anything about the underlying assets. You know, it's like a large cap ETF based on an index. Simple. How is wine similar to that model, and how is it different?
Great question. Yes, well, I've been fortunate to start two ETF businesses. So I do get the question, how did you go from ETFs to an asset class like fine wine? I would say that definitely both organizations and myself, you know, would say that if you're investing in a broad market index like the S&P 500, well, there's no better way to do that than through ETFs, for sure. But there are asset classes where pure indexing does not make sense. And an example would be high yield bonds or preferred shares. These are asset classes where active management actually benefits. Fine wine is in that category because you can certainly take advantage of a lot of information on data, producers, weather, macro issues like tariffs, and really add value on the asset management side by being active.
So who's the portfolio manager here? Or do you have a roster of sommeliers on tap? Are people visiting the vineyards?
Yeah, we have a global investment committee, which I'm part of, and we meet quarterly to review benchmark allocations and specific wine positions by vintage, by producer, and a number of inputs go into our decision making. And then from the investment committee, we, as I mentioned, set a benchmark allocation that our portfolio managers manage to. The makeup of the PMs is pretty diverse. So you will have people with both wine knowledge and investment knowledge actually managing the portfolios for our clients.
How do you think about diversification? Because I can imagine you'd need to not only think about it within your varietals, but also regionally, given, you know, weather dynamics and things that would affect Chile differently than they'd affect Spain.
For sure. So that's where the work of the investment committee comes in. And just like any other investment, diversification is quite important because certain regions, such as recently Italy or Champagne, would outperform other regions, such as Rome. And so you want to be exposed to various regions, as you point out, various varietals and various vintage years, because that also is something that needs to be factored into in your investment portfolio.
Why did you decide to go into the wine business? And why in this way? Were you simply too lazy to work in a vineyard? Is that what this boils down to? You loved wine and you're like, I should open a vineyard. And then I thought, I am not getting my hands dirty. No.
It was really something I'd had in the back of my mind for many years. Again, like I mentioned, I was curious as to why it had never been promoted in North America in any major way. And so when I had left Vanguard, I was looking to do something that would tie together my passions of fine wine and asset management. And so I built a business plan, which I shared with Carrie Tuck, who's my colleague and was the head of marketing and digital at Vanguard. And she took a look at it and said, we have to do this because we will have the best jobs on Bay Street if we make this work.
We'll be sauced by five, but it'll be a great experience. I do want to ask you before we go, like if we put the sort of traditional investing overlay on top of this, and I know you can't, past returns are not indicative of future returns and all that stuff, but how do you think about, how would you think about long-term returns in investing in wine? And how do you think about the fees associated with that? So if this were traditional equities, I'd say long-term returns of, you know, 5 to 7% and a cost of an ETF somewhere around 20 to 50 basis points.
Right. So as you eloquently pointed out, our historical results can't be determinative of future ones, but since inception of our Cult Wines Index, which was in October of 2009, the returns have averaged 12% per year on an annual basis. From there, you deduct the fees, and we have different fees at different account sizes. But at the entry level, which is $12,500, the fees are 2.95% management fee. And that's the only fee you pay. So there's no performance fees. There's no commission payments when you exit positions. And that's your fee load, which covers acquisition, insurance, storage, and our management of your portfolio.
Did that number lead to a nervous tick for you, given how long you'd spent in ETFs? Did it feel like, whoa, I'm basically charging the fee of a seg fund now?
Not at all, because at the end of the day, it's net returns, right, Bruce? And that's what you need to look at. And I thought actually for an alternative asset class, given that it's a physical asset and you own it, it's a real asset, those fees are actually quite low.
And cheaper than 2 and 20.
Absolutely, right? There's no 20. So overall, I think, we're providing access to an investment that's a diversifier and buffers your portfolio for quite a reasonable cost.
And with a little bit of buzz too, if you decide to ship a case to your house.
Lots of buzz.
Atul Tiwari, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Atul Tiwari is the CEO of Cult Wine Americas. You got to check this out. It's a really interesting model. You're not shipping the wine to your house, to a wine cellar. It's actually stored in pristine and safe conditions somewhere in the UK. Interesting model.